Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
You know, June 1st, 2002 is a day that I'll never forget, because that's the day that I married my bride. That's the day that Christy and I were married. And it was an outdoor wedding. I mean, it was incredibly hot. It was June 1st, and you would think by June 1st, it wouldn't be that hot. But it was like, how hot was it, Christy? Very hot. It was so hot that our minister almost fainted during the ceremony. It's usually like the bride or the groom, you know, because they're so nervous. But it was so hot that day that our minister, he almost fainted during the service. And, you know, here I was, we were all of our groomsmen, we were in full black tuxes, and it was outdoors. We were just crazy. We're crazy. We wanted the best of both worlds, you know, indoor and outdoor. We wanted it all. But it was all worth it, because after the family was seated, and after the bridesmaids, they had processed in, and all that was out of the way, it was time for the bride. It was time for the bride. And I still remember, we were kind of down in front of a lake, just a small lake, and there was a small hill that sort of separated us from where Christy was, and I couldn't see her, but I knew she was back there somewhere. And all of a sudden, when it was her time, she came up over that hill, that little embankment, and she was in a horse-drawn wagon, a horse-drawn buggy. And she was so pretty. On one side was one brother, Scott, and on the other side was her other brother, Brian. And as she came forward, I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes, because she was so gorgeous. I mean, she had on the pearls, she had on the white dress, the veil, her hair was nice, her makeup was just right. And not only that, not just her appearance, but her character, because I had dated this girl for 5 years. We had dated for 4 and we were engaged for 1. Not only was she beautiful with how she looked, but I knew what she stood for. I knew the type of character that she was as she came forward to be betrothed to me. And I remember as she just stepped down off that buggy, thinking, wow, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. You know what? She had made herself ready. And I tell you, it was a glorious day. It was a glorious day. Church, you know that the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. We just read that in Revelation chapter 19. One day in God's timing, the Bible says that all the redeemed of Christ will be caught up together. We'll be caught up together to experience exactly what Revelation 19 is talking about. The marriage supper of the Lamb. But we know this to be true, that day is not here yet, is it? It's not here yet, because we're still here. It's coming. But guess what that means? Church, that means that we need to be preparing ourselves. We need to be getting ready. Notice right here. Notice verse 8, it says this. It was given to her, talking about the bride, to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The wedding garments that you and I are adorning ourselves with, that we're preparing and putting on, are the righteous acts, the things of God, the things that make us beautiful in God's kingdom, is righteousness. And I have two purposes this morning. I come with two purposes. One is to answer the question, what is the church? What is the church? And secondly, I come this morning to share 10 characteristics that I believe derive from Scripture that West Main Baptist Church should be adorning ourselves with, that we should be putting on and preparing ourselves with. So that's my purpose this morning. First, what is a church? What is a church? You know, in common language, we call this building right here the church, don't we? In sort of common language. I want to tell you a story. I mean, this is true. This is not just a story a preacher made up. This is true, I promise you. There was a little girl back at Crofton Baptist. Her name is Julie. And one day they were riding home from church, and Julie looked over to her mama, AJ, and she said, She said, Mama, when I grow up, I want to be just like Brother Ben. She said, well, that's nice. Why do you want to be like Brother Ben? She said, well, Mama, Brother Ben is so close to God. Well, wow, that's nice. Julie, what makes you think that? She said, well, he lives right next door to the church. Right? He lives right next door to the church. I lived in the parsonage there too, but the parsonage was right next to the church. I mean, I could take a rock and hit the church. Friends, but I mean, that's sometimes how we think of it, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we call the building, it's sort of like the church building is sort of like the Old Testament temple sometimes, isn't it? That's where God dwells. But we know, guys, we know that this building is not a temple. God does not dwell here. In fact, praise God, the temple was rendered null and void, wasn't it, at the crucifixion of Christ and His death. We know that from Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. Listen to this, church. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Church, the veil of the temple, which separated God from man, it separated God in the Holy of Holies, was torn asunder, it was torn apart, signifying that God would no longer be associated with a building, no longer be associated with like the Ark of the Covenant and all that. He would be associated with a people. He would be associated with the bride of Christ. This building is not the church. It's the church house, isn't it? It's the church house. Therefore, we should respect it and we should honor it and we should treat it rightly. But we got to get things in perspective, right? This building is not the church. It's the place where the church meets. So, if this building is not the church, then what is the church? What is the church? There are really two ways of thinking and of looking at what the church is. There's the church universal, and then there's the church local. So let's look here for just a moment at the church universal. The church universal is the collection of all true believers in Christ for all time, from creation to the second coming, which includes those who look forward to Christ. I mean, it includes people such as Abraham and Moses and Elijah. And then it also includes those men who look back at Christ, which includes us, but Paul, Peter, Augustine, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Lottie Moon. We could go on and on, couldn't we? It also includes those who will come to faith in the future. That's the church universal. It's all of God's people through every age and every tongue, tribe, and nation. You know, in a sense, you could rightly come and say, I belong to the Apostle Paul's church, right? Because we do, in the sense of the church universal. That's the big scope. That's the big picture. How about the other one? The church local. The church local. The church universal, I mean, it's made up of assemblies, countless congregations and local churches. Right here in Alexandria, I mean, I've not counted them. But I can guess and say that there's probably a dozen or more right here in this general vicinity very easily that are local congregations that meet together. And all of these together make up the bride of Christ. So, you know, a local congregation, if the church universal is all the believers for all time, then here's what the church local is. It's an assembly. It's an assembly of baptized believers in Christ, joined by a covenant of discipline and witness, who meet together regularly under the preaching of the Word of God. That's what this is. We are a local congregation. We've said we're gonna hold each other accountable. There's a covenant of discipline. In other words, we know what we believe and we know how we've said we're going to act and all those things. And there's a covenant of witness. We say what we believe and what it means to go out and share the gospel with the community. That's what we're here to do. Not only that, but we meet together regularly, don't we? I tell you what, guys. I am so thankful that God has given us the church. Aren't you? Aren't you so glad that God has given this to us where we can come together and we can praise the Lord and we can hear others sing and we can sing ourselves? and we can hear preaching and we can shake hands and sharpen each other during Sunday school and all those things. It is a gift of God. It's one of His graces to us. I'm so thankful for this. If I'm not in church on Sunday morning, this is not just because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm not in church on Sunday morning, I feel like something's missing because I desire to fellowship with you all. I'm so thankful that God has given this to us. He's given it to us. And so, this church, West Main Baptist Church, is a part of the bride of Christ. So, preacher, where are you going with this? I know I can see the look on some of your faces. Where are you going with this? I want us to realize the weight of what we've gathered together right here to do and to be. I want us to realize the weight of it. Church, this meeting, it's more than a social gathering, although I love the social aspect of it. This is a church meeting together. And this is a divine encounter, an institution set up by God. And here's what I want. Here's what I want for me and for us. I want us to be ready. And I want us to be adorned for the coming of Christ. Amen? I want us to be ready and adorned for the coming of Christ. Now truly, I want all churches to be ready. I wish every single church would be ready, adorned, fully adorned when Christ comes back. But the truth is, I'm not the pastor of those churches. The Lord has just called me to pastor this fellowship and this group of believers to help encourage one another to be more like Christ. That means, church, that we should be striving to manifest, to bring forth certain spiritual characteristics. Now, on August 3rd, when we met after the lunch and all that, when we come out here for the congregational meeting and the question and answer time, someone asked me, I can't even remember who it was, if it was Brother Charles or if it was Brother Brad or someone asked me, Ben, what is your vision for West Main Baptist Church? And I'll be honest, I was honest with you that day. I could not answer that at that time. I just couldn't answer it. God had not called me here yet. But I want you to know that on August 10th, when you guys voted to call me as your pastor, and when Christy and I said, yes, this is where we think God is leading us, this is where we know God is leading us, I began to seek after God as to what He would have us to be, what He would have us to be as a congregation. And so I've sought God for a vision for West Main Baptist. And this morning, I want to share with you, this is just an overview. I mean, we're going to get into it over the next few weeks, but I want to give you an overview so you can see the big picture first. And so when we get to it in the individual pieces, it'll all fit together. 10 characteristics that should adorn us as the bride of Christ so that when people mention West Main Baptist, they think of these things. And that's what I want, that when they mention our name, when they think of us, they think of these things. Again, this is just an overview. We'll get into the full teaching and application on each of these as we get into the next few weeks. So, we come to purpose number 2 this morning, the 10 characteristics that I pray will adorn West Main Baptist Church. The first one is this, church, the Bible being our only source for faith and practice. The Bible being our only source for faith and practice. You guys might remember this well. I mean, I missed out on it. I didn't come to the Southern Baptist Church until I was up in my 20s is when I first got involved with the Southern Baptist Church. But I bet some of you remember the 70s and the 80s when there was a battle for the Bible. Do you guys remember that? You guys remember that when there was a battle for the Bible and there were two sides and they were sort of pitting on each other back and forth? I've read the stories, but it was apparently an intense battle. And the debate geared around whether or not every single word of the Scripture is true. That's what it was around. Or another way of saying it is whether or not the Bible is inerrant. Now praise God that those who believed that this is God's Word and that every word in it is true. Praise God that they won out in our convention and that our convention was steered from an unbiblical water. Now, the inerrancy question, I mean, it's been settled. the question that now looms over us is whether or not the Bible is sufficient. Is the Bible really the only authority for our faith and our practice? I believe and I hope that West Main Baptist Church will be a congregation that loves the Bible, that practices the Bible, believes the Bible, that teaches the Bible. May we be adorned with the Bible being our only source for faith and practice. Number two is this: God's glory being our one desire. God's glory being our one desire. You know, if you look through the Scripture, church, God's glory is the motivation behind history past and history future. Why did God create you and me? For His glory. Why did God drive Adam and Eve from the garden after they sinned? For His glory. Why did God choose Israel as His old covenant people? The Scripture says, for His glory. Why did Christ come and die for us? The Bible says it was for God's glory. Now, glory is certainly, I mean, that's a tough concept to grasp, isn't it? We'll get into that. But here's the deal. Over and over again, the Scripture affirms that God's glory is the ultimate goal of everything. And so I am praying, I'm hoping that we will be adorned with God's glory being our one desire. Third is this one: Christ and Him crucified being our only boast. Christ and Him crucified being our only boast. You know, one of the greatest questions in the Bible, I mean, it's one of these types of questions that you read it and you're like, I have nothing else to say. It's sort of like one of those holy shut my mouth moments. Is the question found in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. The Apostle Paul asks this question: what do you have that you did not receive? Now think about that for a minute, church. What do you have that you did not receive? The implied answer is nothing. Nothing. Everything I've got has been given to me. I've received it all. And the greatest gift of all is the gift of Christ. You know, to the world, church, it seems strange that we would stand up here on a Sunday morning and sing, Jesus is all the world to me. It's strange for the world to hear us say that. They're like, you guys are nuts. But for those of us who believe, it's the very wisdom of God. He is all the world to me. He is my only boast. May we be adorned with Christ and Him crucified being our only boast. Fourth is this one: the Great Commission being our driving purpose. The Great Commission being our driving purpose. I'm sure we all know Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20. I'm sure we know those well. And this, my friends, is the only commission given to the church, isn't it, after the Lord's resurrection? This is the only commission. This is what He's told us to do, isn't it? But so often, we forget about the part where it says make disciples. We've got the evangelism part right. We want to see people baptized. But church, let me just say to you this morning that the fully orbed Great Commission includes both evangelism and it includes discipleship. That is the full Great Commission. Now, in doing so, friends, I want to see people saved. Amen. Do you guys want to see people saved? Amen, I do. I want to see so many people saved that there are no more people to be saved. Amen. I want to see so many people saved that every single church in this community has to build new facilities to host us all on Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? But just as bad as I want to see people saved, I want to see every single believer going deep in the Lord. Going deep. You often heard of congregations, they say, so-and-so church, man, they're a mile wide, but they're an inch deep. Y'all heard that before? Someone say that about a church? Or maybe a person? Friends, here's what I desire. Here's what I hope for this church, is that we would be a mile wide and a mile deep. That's the Great Commission. That's the true Great Commission, where we grow in numbers and we grow in faith. That's why God's put us here right now. So may we be adorned with the Great Commission being our driving purpose. The fifth one is this: biblical love for the brethren being our goal for fellowship. When somebody says, West Main Baptist, boy, they are a loving church, and you guys are a loving church. We are a loving church. What do they usually mean, though? I mean, do they just mean that you're friendly? Do they mean that you're nice, that you're giving, that you hug a lot? What do they mean by that? We realize, I mean, biblical love includes those things, doesn't it? Friendliness and giving and hugging one another, loving one another in that way. But biblical love, I mean, it goes much deeper, doesn't it, church? It goes much deeper. Biblical love for the brethren includes genuinely caring for one another's well-being, holding one another accountable in faith and confronting one another if there's need to repent. It includes, as our church covenant says these things in our church covenant. It says, remembering each other in prayer, aiding each other in sickness and distress, being tender-hearted and courteous toward one another, being slow to take offense and quick to reconcile. That's what biblical love is. It's all those things. Biblical love, it's multifaceted, like a big old diamond with all kinds of facets to it. The more facets, the more beautiful it is. And the love, the biblical love that God has called us to for each other, it is multifaceted and it's beautiful. It is so beautiful. May we be adorned with biblical love for the brethren, being our goal in fellowship. Here's the sixth one, as I've sought the Lord. Excellence being the standard for all that we attempt. Church, do we serve a great God? Amen. Amen, we do. He deserves our utmost, our best. And for that reason, I believe this, everything that we do should be done with a standard of excellence. Now, I got to be careful as I say that, don't I? Because here's the deal. We must keep in mind that the excellence that you and I are striving for is not what the world would call excellent. All right? I mean, there are a lot of things that we could do that the world would put there. We'd get two thumbs up from the world, wouldn't we? And God might say, I don't know about that. Friends, our goal for excellence, we're striving to please God. And whatever pleases God is excellent, right? Whatever pleases God is excellent. Therefore, in everything that you and I do as a church, as an individual, we've got to ask ourselves, does this please God? May we be adorned with excellence, being the standard for all that we attempt. Seven is this, and this is one of the things that I love about this church. I've already seen it. Passionate, sincere worship being regulated by Scripture first and culture second. There's a great line from a contemporary Christian song that says this. It says, you and I were made to worship. Isn't that true, church? You and I, we were made to worship. Even more, though, God commands us to worship Him. And so the question is, what does that look like? What does it sound like? How does He desire us to worship Him? Now, all across our land, you know this to be true, churches are ordering services and planning events with the only thought in mind being whether or not people like it. That's the only thought that they come about, that as they plan things, so often culture trumps Scripture. But we must realize this, that worship is not for us. It's not about us. It's about the one we are worshiping. Therefore, we must be adorned with passionate, sincere worship being regulated by Scripture first and culture second. Eight is this one, and this is one that God has just, He's just doing a work in my mind. I'm not all the way here yet of what this actually means, but I want you to know that this is something that God is beginning to bear into my spirit. It's this, number 8, God's design for the family being championed and equipped. Listen, if you want to see where Satan is working the hardest across our nation, just look at the families. Satan is working double time to undermine God and the things of God in our families all across America. Even in the Christian homes, we see families that look more like the world than look like Christ. Children are often seen as a nuisance or as punishment. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. We see divorce, biblical illiteracy in our children, fathers and husbands abdicating their role as the leader of their home, and wives and mothers taking the control from their husbands, taking it away, the role of family leader. In some families, we see the children ruling the roost and the parents marching to their orders. You know, families worshiping and Scripture being taught in the home is sort of at an all-time low. I mean, I could go on and on. And again, this is something that God is just beginning to bear into my spirit. And maybe it's because my boys, Zechariah is just getting old enough to where we can really sit down and read a story and he understand it. And he can memorize and he can do those things. And so maybe that's part of it, just the season of my life. But I look so forward to learning with you guys in this area. Because I know some of you, I pray, have godly homes, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see how the Lord has led you to order your home and to order your family and to raise up your children. But we're going to seek God's grace in these things. I mean, there's no perfect family, is there? There's no perfect family. But may we be adorned with God's design for the family being championed and being equipped. The 9th one is this: the full array of spiritual disciplines being practiced both individually and corporately. Now, on Wednesday nights, just this past Wednesday, I began a series on spiritual disciplines. Now, a spiritual discipline is just simply those things that help us grow closer to Christ, okay? To make us become more like Christ. Maybe spiritual disciplines are reading and memorizing Scripture, prayer, worship, evangelism, service, giving, fasting, all those sorts of things. Do you desire to bear fruit? Do you desire to have power in God? If you do, then these habits are the pathway to those things. Let me ask you this. How awesome would it be if Satan turned to his demons and said, "Let's leave West Main Baptist alone because it ain't worth the effort. They're too close to God." Think about that for a minute. Satan turned to his demons and said, "We can't touch them. They're too close to Christ." Because we disciplined ourselves in the Lord and we prayed and we read and we took in His Scripture. Oh, that we would be adorned with the full array of spiritual disciplines being practiced both as individuals and as a church. And finally is this: true salt and light being our ministry to the surrounding communities, absolutely rocking them for Christ. Absolutely rocking them for Christ. Praise God that we're not just saved to sit inside these four walls. That He saved us to go out and to carry a message and to love people and to serve people. We're here to serve God and we're here to serve man. And I want to be a part of a church that's on the move. Amen? We want to be a part of a church that's doing something that is kingdom focused and is making a difference. That we would be salt and light to every corner of our mission field right here. We've got the sign out front, don't we? You're about to enter into the mission field. Friends, that's so true. That's so true. I hope that we mean every word of that, because I want to see Alexandria and its surrounding communities absolutely rocked for Christ, that they will never be the same because of Christ. So may we be adorned with true salt and light, being our ministry to the surrounding communities, absolutely rocking them for Christ. Now, church, that's a job, ain't it? All these things? Ben, are you serious? Listen, we cannot make any of those happen. It's the power of Christ in us. And so we're going to grab hold of the throne of God and say, God, help us in these areas. Teach us. Show us. Give us unity of spirit. Give us the strength and the power and the vision and the wisdom to be what you've called us to be. Church, we are not here by chance. God has placed us here for a purpose. We're here to be preparing for the coming of our bridegroom. And my prayer is that we will be beautifully, most excellently, brilliantly adorned with the righteousness of God. May we be a church that Christ will say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.